Okay, good morning, we're up to Mishnah Yizayin. We are in the middle of the Rashis. Good morning, Boker Tov. We are in the middle of the Rashis. The Rashis, page... Okay. Pasuk Vav, we're up to Pasuk Vav. That is where we are up to.
So let's... doesn't say the page, then we go...
Page 132. Page 132. Mizmor Yud Zayin. We're in Pasuk Vav, so we're now in our second round. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Li Yavid V'Ro'i. We're now on round two through the parrot. Ani Kirasicha Kisaneni Kel Hat Oznicha Li Shema Imrasi. David says, I have called out to you. The reason why, if we remember from the Mitzudas David, he understood this to mean the reason why I invest in calling out to you, davening to you, Hashem, is because I know from the past I made a lot of money. In the past it was a good investment. Kisaneni kel, because you in the past have always answered me. So from my past experiences, I know that it's a very worthy endeavor to call out to you. And therefore, once again, David says, Hat oz nechali, tilt your ear to me, Shema Imrasi.
When he changes subject, he says, Anikurasika, he's talking to him. Anikurasika, Kisani Kel. You answered me. I called you, you answered me.
No, Anikurasika now, today.
Right.
Why? Because I have good experience.
Because you answered me
in the past. Exactly.
But it doesn't say you answered me in the past. It said you answered God.
God has answered me. So yes, and then you were switching from first tense
right.
to second tense. Exactly. So that is good. Every bracha we do that. Baruch Ato Hashem. Blessed are you, Hashem. Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehakol. Everything Nihyeh came into existence bidvaroi. With his word, with your word, Shakol Niya Bidva Recha. Everything came into existence with your word. So this is a very common question. We're switching with every single bracha. We go from first tense to second tense. We say you to the third tense. Everything came into existence through your command. But wait, you just started out by saying Baruch Atah, you. So the answer is. I mean, there are many answers to this question, but the answer is that when you speak to Hashem b'lashon directly, there is an expression of closeness, like your father. You speak to people, you know, your friends. You speak to people that you're close with. You speak to them directly. Reverence is you distance yourself. So every brach we want to express this idea that Hashem is multidimensional. There are elements in Hashem where it's very personal. And there are elements in our relationship with Hashem where we have reverence, where we stand back. So when we begin the bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, we say you, because Yudke Vavke is Midas Rachamim, mercy. So we speak to Hashem with Rachamim, and we're very close to Hashem. But then we stand back. We have to acknowledge, don't get too close to Hashem. Hashem is not your buddy. Hashem is Din, Mishpat, Elokim. Elokim is Midas HaMishpat. So then we say Elokeinu. He is our God. We don't say you are our God. He's our God. We already begin to distance ourselves. And then when we say the end of the bracha, it's typically in the third tense that Shehakol, everything came into existence through his word. It is another dimension of recognizing that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not my buddy. He's not my buddy. Stand back. Have respect.
In high school, I had a boy came up with a Rebbe Yeshiva. I've never heard this before. There was no.
He didn't say you said the Rebbe. He said the Rebbe said.
Right.
Because I'm sure that you will answer.
What he's asking the tense shade. Ani kirasicha. Kirasicha is direct. It's third tense. Look again in the Mitzudas. Look in the Mitzudas. This is Kisanin ki yodati shete anin, because I know that you will answer me. Kisaneni, anikrasicha, kisaneni, maybe I said it wrong. Ki saneni kel, because I know ki yodati, I know shetani. I call out to you because I know that you ki saneni kel, that you will answer me. Hat oz nuchali. Let's see. Look. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi ki saneni.
I think he's the way I'm hearing the question. Maybe the answer is. He couldn't just say Kisaneni, why do you have to
Kel?
So, but look at the Ibn Ezra. He says,
oh, okay.
Kel, Kiyesh Lekoch. In other words, you're.
Kiyesh Lekoch. You have the power to do so.
You're hearing that Kel, not just Saneni, you should hear Kel. Because you are somebody.
Because you have power. Yesh Le'el Yodi. The word El means power. There is power in my hands. So, I'm calling out to you because I know good and well that you will answer me. I have confidence in you. Furthermore, Kel, because you, Hashem, are powerful. You have power to help me. And then he says, therefore, Hat Oz L'chali, bend your ear to me, Shema Imrasi, listen to my words. It's a very interesting expression to say that Hashem, Hat is to bend, to tilt. Hashem doesn't need to tilt. Hashem can hear from a very far distance. Hashem has very good hearing. Why does it say, obviously these are expressions, I'm sure there's a lot more to it. Okay, let us run through the circle in my head. I didn't mark down some things I want to mention.
You say
we say it very often. It's an expression that we use, it's just an expression to arouse us on a very simple level. On a very simple level. Pasuk, let's go next pasuk. Pasuk Zayin. Haflei chasadecha. Haflei, we learned last time, it means to differentiate. Differentiate your kindness. In other words, do not bestow your kindness upon the wicked. As Moshe Rabbeinu said, there should be a distinction between we should be different than the Goyim. The Goyim Hashem, do not rest your divine presence upon the Goyim. Only rest your divine presence upon Klal Yisrael. Haflei means to differentiate. Chasadecha, Moshiach Chosim, may those who seek refuge in you find salvation. From the wicked people who are rising up against your right side. That's how the Mitzvah Stav learned this passage. Let's think Rashi. Haflei chasodecha. Okay, we have some old friends. Ramachol is not here. He's in Lakewood, Ramachol. He's coming later. He went away for a simple, be back later. Kemov v'neflim l'aniv yamecha. He quotes exactly what he was saying many times. Differentiate. Differentiate. The weak, Klal Yisrael, should be different than the Umay Yisraelam. Hashem rests his divine presence upon Klal Yisrael and does not rest upon the nation of the world. Moshiach b'minecha es hachesim bach mimiskamimim aleihem. Rashi disagrees with the Mitzvah David, and he learns Hashem, he takes the word b'minecha and he puts it and he switches the order. And he says, save us with your right hand. If you remember, the Mitzvah David said, Hashem, save us. Save the people that seek refuge in you from those wicked people who rise up against your right hand. The word b'minech, according to the Mitzvah David, means Hashem's midas. Hashem is a kel mole rachanim. Whatever all of the midas you want to ascribe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are found in the concept of b'minech, in your right hand. There are wicked people who rise up against, to attack, to deny the power of Hashem's right hand. David pleads, save me and save all those people like me who seek refuge in you from this group of wicked people who are those who rise up against your right hand. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says the word b'minech has to be sliced and diced. Take it out at the end of the pasuk and attach it. Every common, you said this when we learned this last time. Take the word b'minecha and attach it to the word Moshiach, and David is asking, Hashem, save me with your right hand. Your right hand is what is going to save me from the people that rise up against you. Let's see again inside. Haflei chasdecha, Moshiach, save with your right hand those people that seek refuge in you from from those wicked people who rise up against them. See, there's another difference. According to Mitzvah David, the wicked people are being described as those who rise up against Hashem. According to Rashi, the miskaimimim are being described as people who are rising up against the Jewish people, against the people that are coming to seek refuge. Next, now Rashi explains. Haflei chasadecha. Yeah, we do all the time.
Many, many words here.
Many words. Hachle chasodecha, Moshiach b'minecha, choysim mimiskonim. Yeah, we do it all the time, especially in Tehillim. In Tehillim, we really go to town. I mean, much more so than the Machrayim. We slice the these a word in a pasuk in Tehillim is a puzzle. You have to take the words, you have to take them all out, put them on the table, and rearrange them. We rearrange them to make sense of the pasuk. And when you're doing that, when you're taking words and you're rearranging the words, you're giving yourself many different opportunities. And each one of the Rishonim is going to rearrange the words in a different order, which is going to provide an entirely different pshat in the pasuk. And many often there are very deep, deep hashkafic concepts which come out depending on the way you rearrange the words.
So another thought which you had mentioned before, I think also may come to play here, where the word is repeated again the second time.
Right.
I mean, halfway chasadecha, Moshiach chaysim miskaimimim, and Moshiach chaysim miyimidecha.
Aha, so you want to say it that way. You want to keep the words in order. You're saying very good. You want to keep the words in order, but you just want to repeat words in the appropriate place.
I
keep the words in order, you're suggesting, and just repeat the words, which is another technique. Hafle chasodecha, period. Moshiach chosim. Mimiskoimimim. And then you're saying, Moshiach b'minecha. The way you shall do this, you shall save with your right hand. Okay, it's a little bit. Moshiach chosim b'minecha. Repeat those two words. Save, okay, different ways to play around with the words. Okay, but the idea, let's see the end of the Rashi. Rashi over here says, he concludes, Moshiach aleim hafle chasodecha Moshiach chosim, he says in the Feirish Rashi, harei ze mikra misoiros. This is a mikra misoiros. Okay, in Chumash, you don't have that too often, mikra misaras. This is a pasuk that has to be, the words have to be rearranged to make sense. Hafle chasodecha bimincha. Differentiate with your kindness, with your right hand, esachosim, for those that seek refuge in you from those who rise up against them. Okay, now about pasuk ches. Shomeni kishon masoi.
By the way, it's a mikra misaras, but the idea is good. The idea is straight.
The idea is yashar, but the mikra of the word, only the mikra, not the idea. Excellent, excellent. Now, ki ishoin shomeni ki ishoin b'Hashem, guard me ki ishoin bas oyin. Guard me, Hashem, like the pupil of your eye. B'tzel kemefecha ta'astireni, and shelter me in the shadow of your wing. Let me just close the door because we have a class. So we discussed this at length, this pasuk, the bas oyin, ki ishon, according to the Malbim, the word mitzudas, the word ki ishon is identical to the word bas. Bas doesn't mean the daughter. Bas means the ishon. It means the pupil of the eye. Okay, we went into this, spent a lot of time on this. What does it mean, ishon? Ishon means a little man. There's a little man in the pupil of the eye. When you look at a person's eye, it's a mirror. In the mirror, what do you see? You see yourself. You see yourself as a little teeny person. So Hashem, guard me, like the people of your eye, in the shadow of your wings, shelter me. We spend time on this. That is the correct nusach in the Kelmole. Tachas kanfei hashchina, or is it al kanfei hashchina? And in the standard response, it says tachas. I don't really know that standard, but that's pretty common. Tachas. And there is a medrash that says that the gerim are tachas kanfei hashchina, and those that are not gerim are al kanfei hashchina. What does that mean? Listen, no one knows what that means. Now, and then we discussed where exactly is the radiation coming from. Is in this world the sun shines from above? In the other world, those here learned Daf Yomi, learned not that long ago about all the different heavens. And, you know, there's a lot going on up here. So exactly where is the radiance, that in which direction is the radiance coming from where you need shelter? Maybe you'd be better off, the wings are sheltering you, the shade is coming from what is radiating below. Who says that the radiation is coming from above? Okay, so everything is this is very Kabbalistic. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, we'll take one word in this. Guard me like the pupil of your eye. What is the ishoin? Hu hashochar sheba ayin. Shehamor tolui boy. Vision is dependent upon the pupil. The al shem shacharu risoi hu karui ishoin. Ishoin loshin choshach. He's not going like what he said in the David. This is siyoin. That means little man. The word ishoin va'afela. Ishoin means darkness. Thick black darkness. The darker the pupil, the more light. The more light. We know that black is the color which absorbs all colors. So then, as black absorbs all, the reason why it looks black is because it absorbs the whole spectrum. When the entire spectrum is present, then it's black. When the light is reflected, then it's white. So Ishoin represents the more, the darker the pupil is, the more light, the more, the greater the range of color. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem has appointed for the pupil a guardian. Now, what does the risei? The risei refers to the eyelids. The eyelids are continuously, it's an incredible phenomenon that the person blinks. How often, I don't know all the statistics, that Hashem made it such that the eye continuously blinks to cover its eye to protect it. Just goes to show how delicate the eye is, that it constantly needs to be covered, needs to blink. Man is created in the image of Hashem. Does Hashem blink? Is there such a concept anywhere that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything about a human being is Ki b'tzelem elokim osa es ha'adam? Does Hashem blink? We always like to discuss, does Hashem sleep? A human being needs to sleep. But does Hashem sleep? Hine lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. So the pasuk Hine lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael appears to be a direct contradiction to the pasuk in Bereishis, Ki b'tzelem elokim osa es ha'adam. Every single element that is found in a human being, there is a parallel in the spiritual world by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He exhibits that koyach on our limited understanding. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if man, it's a reality, and even in halacha, a person says that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, it's a shavua shav. The human condition is such that a person will fall asleep. It is impossible for a person to remain awake for 3 days straight. A person will certainly fall asleep as then, but we know back to the Shbarchu, Hine lo yonum v'lo yishon. So how do we reckon? It's a very difficult question. A remez, this answer is the Megillas Esther. Balayla hahu nodido shenas hamelech. And Chazal tell us, every time it says in the Megillah the word hamelech without achashverosh, sometimes it says hamelech achashverosh, and sometimes it says just simply hamelech. When it says HaMelech, it is a remez to the Melech Malchei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chazal, in the Gemara, explicitly darshins in the word HaMelech, Balaylahu Nodadosh Nas HaMelech, it doesn't just mean that Achashverosh, he could not fall asleep. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was awakened. Hashem's slumber, Kaviyachol, was disturbed. Because Klal Yishol was fasting for 3 days. Leich Kinois Eskol HaYehudim achieved results. It aroused the Shenosei Shel Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem doesn't sleep, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he makes believe that he's not paying attention. It's part of the Hester Panim. So I want to suggest that this principle of the Risei Ayin refers to man. We blink every second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does that mean? So what does that mean that we blink every second? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem sees everything. And every second the person fails. Every second of the day, every single person is not reaching his potential. It's just the human condition. Hashem put man in this world, person's nichshol. He doesn't daven with the kavani he should daven. He doesn't say the brachos the way he should say the brachos. Once in a while, he says avak lashon hara. Okay, just, you know, light things. We're not talking about avodah zarah gilui raya shvichas daven. People make mistakes all the time and they can do better. Hashem looks the other way. He blinks. That little blink of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a real blink. It's, I'll give you a chance. all right, you made a mistake. As long as he didn't make a major, as long as he didn't destroy the world, as long as he didn't do avodah zarah, yilirai shvichas tamim. You didn't daven today, you know, you should have come 10 minutes early. You only came to davening today 9 minutes early. All right, you know, I'm not going to send out a bolt of lightning to get you today, because you only came to shul 9 minutes early instead of coming to shul 10 minutes early. So the blink represents, you know what? I didn't see that. I didn't see that you came 9 minutes. Hashem sees everything. Let's not make any mistake. Hashem sees everything. But I'll make believe I didn't see that, because otherwise the world will not be able to exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is continuously, naturally almost, overlooking minor things. Now, anyone, you have to be very careful with this, what I just said, because Chazal say, Kol Hoimer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran Yivatr Chayav. I'm not sure I said the right expression, but anyone that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he overlooks, his life will be overlooked. So that's a very dangerous thing to say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlooks. But yet we know it's true. We know that in the process of teshuva, there's a very big differentiation between types of averos that are chamurois and things that are not, that society do not consider to be where you fight your battles. You have to optimize. You have to preserve. You know where to fight your battles. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no question, he's very forgiving. And is willing to overlook as long as a person is on the right derech. As long as a person is growing, he's aspiring to be greater, lifting himself up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he lets people get away with little things with many conditions attached. That is the blinking of the eye. The risei ein of shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, continuous over patience. I'll make believe I didn't see that. Yeah. Hashem does not look like hibit avon biyachol. Excellent. The blink, the release say enough. The blink, that's the hibit avon biyachol. But Hashem, the big things, and if a person has an attitude of I don't care, that's a different story. But the release say enough. The blink is you cannot ignore the fact that ki b'tzelem Elokim osa esaga. Every element that is found in a human being, there has to be a parallel to this principle somewhere by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Has to be. Hinei lo yinu v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael? Well, guess what? Balai la'ahu, nadad ha'shnas ha'melech. Nidodoy shenosoy the slumber shal malkoy shal lo'ilam. It's an explicit Gemara. Mesech the Megillah. Nidodoy shal lo'ilam. So you see there is such a thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he is upset, when he is disturbed without behavior, he makes believe he is sleeping, he's not paying attention. The Anochi Haster Asir Panai. Likewise, when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blinks, what does that mean? Hashem, he doesn't look. That's the split fraction of a second when the eyes blink.
So what the Yishon here is as if to buy a hole, the Yishon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his Yishon.
Correct.
What he meant?
Well,
like you guard your own Ishon, guard me.
I don't know. I don't know if we can say that. It's all the same. It's part of the human condition that a person protects the pupil of his eye. That's the mitzvah. Just like the reality is that a human being, and that means if you created us in your image, so you also protect your eyes. But we don't know. Hashem is not a goof. Hashem is not a goof. But it's I guess it means our eyes. Just like we understand that a human being protects his own pupil, l'chara means a person. Shamreini, guard me, just like a human being protects the ishoin basoyim. You know, he says something very interesting.
Like a person protects
his all right. You know, he says something very interesting because let's combine this with what we learned last week. That the word Yishoyim comes from the word Ish, a little man. Hashem, maybe you can say that with regard to the pupil of the eye, maybe you can suggest there really is no equivalent by Hashem. Okay, you'll say, that is why the word Yishoyim has the Shorish of Ish. this is something that's only found by a human being. This is the exception. The exception to Ki Bitzelem Elokim Oso Es Adam. Because you can't go say Hashem as a pupil. Hashem sees the way a human being sees. Hashem is infinite. This already, you're going into waters that are already beyond us. The word Ishoin is something that we totally cannot even relate to.
Expression of physicality. Other ways with Hashem, why can't we say with the eyes also? Yad Ha Afkiyah.
I know, but it's hard to...
Isn't it the same?
Hashem's mode of vision is completely different than the human being. I'm just suggesting, that's why maybe it was the word Ish. The word Ish is found in this part of the body. Because this part of the body is something which we shouldn't even attempt to try to find the similarity by Hashem. Hashem's vision is so beyond our comprehension. It's infinite. We say that Hashem, the Yod HaChazok. Hashem is powerful. Okay, so that the Torah gave us permission to imagine, to go into fantasy world. Just like in this world, there are people that are powerful. Hashem has power, the Yod HaChazaka, the Etzba, Ki Be'etzba Elokim, the Zeroya Yohanituya. There are certain expressions that are so explicit. When you want to go talk about the eyes, I mean, that's already you're going into a world that's beyond us. And therefore, to indicate, stay away, the word Yishon, the pupil, is spelled Aleph Yud Shin. Ish. This is something that only relates to a mortal. Ish is the Lashon Enosh. Enosh means a weak creature, a human being. This principle is by Hashem. All right, whatever, let's go for it. Let's see what the Rashi is.
By the way, I think you mentioned here, we know that there are Arba'a Shomrim. Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, Shoel. Eze Shmira is Yoter Me'ula, Shoel.
Right.
Nachon?
Correct.
So this what you did. Shomreni like the Shmira Me'ula, like Shomrim.
A Shoel.
Don't that just guard me. But guard me came Shom. Shmira Me'ula, because a person protects his eyes more than he protects his hand.
Okay, so
is that what he means here? Shomreni Shmira Me'ula.
The best Shmira, a Shoel. A shoyel is chayv in oinsin. I hear what you're saying. Okay. A very high level. Okay, the highest level of shmira is the pupil of the eye.
Right.
Okay, excellent. Different there is, being that we do know that there are different levels of shmira. Shemachinim, shemesachar, soicher, and a shoyel. Hashem guard us with, and maybe there's even a higher level of shmira. Number five. Ki ishoin basoyin. This is the highest level of shmira.
Right.
Even that. Guard me with the highest level of excellence. Okay, absolutely. Now, look for this of Rashi. Rashi says, "Kishav is Ahu Hashem Shabbat 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 Because the Hashem gave esrisei ha'ayin, Hashem gave the pupil of the eye eyelids hamechasin oisaitam, which continuously cover the eyes, and if that is a revelation, that is a gilui of how much this has to be protected. The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is always covering it. Okay, now before we continue, I want to tell you about a drush based on what we said last week. We learned last week that according to the Mitzvahs, the word bas means the pupil. And the word bas is just a poetic repetition of the word ishoin. So I want to suggest that we have something called a bas koil. What is a bas koil? After the tekufa of the Nevi'im came to an end, so how then do we communicate with Hashem? What do we do? What happens if there is an emergency? We need some line of communication with Hashem. So we were given this thing called a baskol. The Gemara is full of baskols. Baskol comes out every single day and says, "Oy loy lel boiner shel Torah, ma loy la Kadosh Baruch Hu." When a Kadosh Baruch Hu hears the Klal Yisrael say Yehi Shmei Rabba, he says, "Is a ba." Oh, I don't remember all these different Mamre Chazal. Acher, shuvu vanim shayvavim chutz me acher. That was the one that filmed me not that long ago. Okay, there's something called a baskar. What is a baska? What is this? Ma ze baska? Why isn't it called a ben kol? Bas, a daughter. Call it a ben. What? With a ben.
It's weaker.
It's weaker than a ben. There's a ben kol. We find a ben kol. We had Nevi'im, and when the tekuf of Nevu'ah came to an end, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi were the last Nevi'im. So Hashem still did communicate and send messages to us through a basko. Okay, after the basko came to an end, then it was a she'elas chaloyim. Even the time of the Rishonim, a she'elas chaloyim. You have that even by the Tanoim, you have by the Asora Haruge Malchus. Rabbi Shmuel, he said a shame, he went to Shemayim, whatever, these are mystical things. What is this basko? So I want to suggest the word basko is basically the same principle as what it says by Matan Torah. V'chol ha'am royim es ha'koilos. Now what does that mean? There are many perushim, but on a very simple level, royim es ha'koilos means their comprehension of understanding of what was said to them was the clearest possible understanding of what Hashem said. When you hear something, there's a milah. You hear words, you hear concepts. When you see, seeing is believing. A picture is worth a thousand words. But yet, seeing does not penetrate the person's mind to the degree that you hear. They always tell you 100 times, is that a marketing. What is it? Where do you get more for your bag? If you go and you put up a billboard on the highway, massive, massive billboard. Coca-Cola, massive billboard. Or to invest that money in radio commercials. Radio commercials, someone's listening to the radio and they say, wouldn't you like a delicious Coca-Cola? Nice cold drink of Coca-Cola? Where, by the way, Coca-Cola sponsored this year today. where do you get a bigger bang for your buck? So it's been proven, as far as I am aware and I know, is radio advertising is much, much more effective than visual advertising. Why? Because the amount of time an image stays in your mind is a fraction of a second. If you're driving and you see the billboard, you see Coca-Cola, it goes in and out so fast of your mind. When you see it, gone. When someone on the radio says, drink Coca-Cola, the way the mind works scientifically, it echoes in your subconscious for up to 3 seconds. The person tells you a telephone number. You can remember it for 3 seconds. Try to remember it a minute later. Here, I'm giving you this code. Remember, concentrate. I tell you the code. And if you immediately say the number back, you can say the number back immediately. Even the person has a very average mind.
You read a telephone number, and then you try to dial it, and you'll forget it. But if you hear it, you try to dial it, you'll remember it.
Right.
You hear it like an echo in your head.
Exactly. And it's a reality. So the power of sound is much more effective in many cases than the power of vision. First thing they go on the airplane. They tell you the emergency. The emergency, I know how they prepare for emergency procedures. So they can show you a movie, or there can be, or just listen. Or they do both. I mean, the most powerful form of marketing is you have a video. You have a video, so then you have, you know, both. You have, you know, something you watch and something, and someone is speaking. Don't underestimate the koyach of explanation and dibur words that accompany a video, because then you're getting the best. The Chol Am Rayim Es HaKoilos, Matan Torah was a multimedia presentation. It was sound, it was the koyach of Shmiya, and it means Royim. I don't know if that means Royim, but it captures a principle. Eine Doime Shmiya L'Ri'iyah. Ri'iyah, we all say, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Absolutely.
The best reality is when you have thunder and lightning. And
together.
Lightning comes faster than, than the sound.
The sound, the sound of light is faster than the sound of the sun.
You see it right
on speed. So you see the speed. You see, right, you see the speed. The it was a synthesis between both. Whatever, but on a very similar level, what it means is the clarity was so great, it just, it was beyond anything that we can relate to today. Today we see things, we hear things, we understand, but when you, when, there's an expression which means this clarity. What is a bas called? Bas means to see. Bas means the ishoin bas oyin. Mitsudos, bas is the pupil. The pupil of the eye. The ishoin is the pupil. He says the two words mean exactly the same thing. It's poetic repetition. Bas means the pupil to see. Bas kol means I see the sound. The pupil is where the ma'or einav is. When you have the word baskol, this expression baskol, it means there is the royim es hakoilos. And what does that in essence mean? The tekufa, that is a chiddush, the tekufa of the baskol, which means when nevuah came to an end, was even a greater form of communication than when we had prophets. How can you say such a thing? It sounds like Rabbi Kursis. Chazal say it. Chacham adif minavi. When nevuah came to an end. So what happened? When nevuah came to an end, the koyach of chokhmah began. When nevuah came to the end, that is when the development of Torah Shebal Peh flourished. Time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the time of the Bayis Rishon, the entire era. We don't find the average man was sitting in kollel the whole day. It wasn't a tekufa of chokhmah. Chazal say this. It was a tekufa. Obviously, they knew everything. I mean, but they knew everything in a different way. It was like it was downloaded straight from the source. Everyone had, you know, in their brains, they had a, you know, Wi-Fi connection, 5G. They just downloaded all the information, went seeped right into their brains. They did nevuah. They were nevi'im. And everyone else was a minor prophet. Chazal said there were 1.2 million prophets in this era. So what does that mean? You just know everything. Did you work on it? Did you struggle? Did you toil in order to achieve this information? No, you did not. It was given to you as a gift, a prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu was many Rishonim say, he was a mouthpiece for Hashem. Hashem just streamed. It was streaming from his path, Hashem's words. It wasn't an element when it was toil, amelus, the Torah. Certainly Moshe Rabbeinu was different. Moshe Rabbeinu, Chumash Devarim, is a combination of Moshe's own chidush. After Gemara says that Chacham is Odif Minavi, there's an element where a Chacham, a wise man, he can reach the same conclusion, he can come to the same conclusion through Chochmah, even more so than what a prophet can tell. The prophet gives you a vision of what he sees, a Chacham can give you the same vision through Chochmah. Ezeu Chacham, Horoye Es HaNoilat. What is a prophet? A chizoyon, a prophet sees what's going to be in the future. Ezeh chacham, haroya es hanoilat. So what's then the difference? It's my yegia, my amelus, my toil. It wasn't given to me as a gift. It wasn't a handout. I toiled in order to achieve this vision. When you earn it, and it's not an entitlement, it's much more powerful. It's your product. That's why Chacham Adif Minavi. A Navi sees the future. The end is they are both the same. But because the Chacham worked hard to achieve that result, he was Yogea, he's better than the prophet. The Tekufa, when the Nevi'im came to an end and there was no more communication between Hashem and Klal Yisrael through prophets, Hashem gave them a new technique how to communicate with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that was through the koyach of Chochmas HaTorah. And that's when the Tekufa of the Mishnah and the Medrash Halacha began. The Mesorah was formulated, which ultimately resulted later on in Rabbeinu HaKodesh compiling the Mishnayis And then after the Churban Bayis, after the Churban Bayis, and this spans all this time. You're dealing over here with the time of the entire Tekufa. The entire Tekufa of the Bayis Sheni was the Tekufa of the Midrashim, the Medrash Halacha, which led into the Braisos, led into Rabbeinu HaKadosh cumulating, compiling the Mishnayos, which then led into the Talmud. It began the Tekufa of Chochma. And that Tekufa, how did Hashem communicate with Klal Yisrael during that Tekufa? Basko. What is Basko? A vision. Is Bas. Kol is sound. It was a greater clarity. The Chol Ha'om Royim Es HaKolos. We think it's Niskadnu HaDoros. It's not true. Everyone thinks I'm telling you Chiddush. Obviously, this over here is a very big Chiddush to say such a thing. But I think it's based on the chorus. Chacham Adav Minavi. V'chol Ha'om Royim Es HaKolos. What is a Bas call? Look over here. Bas is the pupil of the eye. What is a call? A sound. Bas call. The two together? When a Navi saw something, he sees something, and then he tells it over to you. Like he said, thunder and lightning. The lightning comes first, and then comes the thunder. The Navi sees, the speed of light is much faster than the speed of sound. So first the Navi sees something, and then he relates it to the people. There's a gap. You don't see the koilos. There's koilos. First you see, and then it's separate, then you hear things. You don't go together. Bas koil! It's a one shot. There's a clarity that Klal Yisrael did not have in the previous generations. I know you'll say, oh, but they had greatness. They had greater nisyonos. Honestly, everything obviously is very complicated. Every door has its mailos and its chesronos. You can't compare. You can say, oh, they were so much greater. That's right, they were greater in one respect, but in another respect, this generation is greater. This generation faces things that no other generation ever faced. There's certain nisyonos, certain struggles that this generation, you know, it's different. I was looking at a video. Someone asked me to convert from them a video, a few videos, in fact, of weddings in the early 1991. Okay, so I took out these old VHSs, and I know some of the people in these videos. I know them. I'm looking at this video, some of you in Rosh Yeshiva, some people, and I could not sleep. I really couldn't sleep. It's more than 30 years. 30 years, not all that long. Okay, on one hand, and you know, you look at the whole setting. I see. I never saw this before. This is like from other people's simchas, and it brings back memories, and then you think, you know, wasn't life then much simpler? Well, yes and no. Yeah, it wasn't much simpler. People had big daigas. People didn't there. Today there are solutions to a lot of problems that they were not in those days. But yet today, yesh v'yesh. No one there has a smartphone in their hands. Could you imagine watching a wedding by the chuppah? And no one is seeing this. Unbelievable.
Everyone was more focused on what they were doing now, locally and now. It wasn't spread out thinking about everything in the world, what was going on.
It's really amazing. It's like I personally feel going into politics that Putin going into Ukraine, you know, it's not like this is not the Cold War. Don't you understand, going into Ukraine, every yokel in the world, including myself, has a smartphone. And you can see the images from the battle, the front lines. You can see people getting killed. Every yokel, every corner, even over here in Flatbush, in the Kotel, I can see in the mamish, the front line, them killing each other. Mamish, watch people die. Watch people. When you go to war today, something like this, you're going to war against the whole world. Whether you're right or wrong, I don't know. I'm not a buck in geopolitics. I don't know any of this stuff.
The big problem right now is that people are so focused on the Ukrainian Jew, and it's brought to my attention.
that a lot of Russian Jews also need out tefillos.
Fighting, they're killing you.
Very big danger.
That's right, 100%.
We're all focusing on Ukrainian Jews, we should realize that
there's Russian Jews that are in great sakana. That's right, Eretz Yisrael is in a very great sakana. They're caught in the middle. The Eretz Yisrael is cooperating. They need the Russians to cooperate with Syria and Iran. Right now, Eretz Yisrael is involved in dealing with them on a daily basis to deal with the threats in Syria and Iran. On the other hand, it doesn't seem that Israel is very happy with what's going on in Ukraine. So how do you juggle? How do you deal with such a situation? Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about is that today we live in a world, we live in the global village. You know, years ago, you want to go take over someone's backyard. Who's going to see? You do whatever you want to do. You want to do the right, wrong, vicious, not good, it's not good, whatever you... Yeah, listen, this is a local issue. Don't tell me what to do. I have my reasons. I know what I'm doing. You believe whatever. Gesunde eight. Who's going to know anyway what you're doing? You're dealing with your own backyard. Today, you go into someone's backyard. The whole wide world, every yukkel is sitting and watching on this smartphone. What's going on? It's a different world today. I look at these videos. It's like, it's just a different world. Simple people had tremendous daigus, and people didn't have solutions. Today there's technology, there are solutions to a lot of things that we didn't have in those days. It's just different. Everyone has it's a different era. No one would want to go back. There's no one that would want to go give up their smartphone, give up the internet, all of the blessings that have come with all of the technology. No one would want to give it up. No one would want to go back to live a life like it was in the 90s. No one, not even one person. But don't you realize it comes with a very great price? Don't you realize the price, the burden that and the struggle that you have to deal with having too much almost, too much available? But yet no one's willing to go back. No one wants to go back. Not even one person would give it up. So what am I trying to say? Every tukufa is different. We are, you know, we're brainwashing. Niskat nu haders. It's not true. Rav Shmuel Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he always would say, this was one of his big pet peeves. Whoever said niskat nu haders? It's a halacha. It's a halacha l'moish v'sinat. It has to be niskat nu haders. And if you feel that you're doing too good, you have to stop. You gotta stop. I can't outdo my father. My father didn't learn the whole Shas, so I can't learn the whole Shas. Niskat nu hadoros. Whoever said? There's no halacha l'moshe v'sina niskat nu hadoros. Adarabah, you can be better. And you know, there are tekufas, there definitely were tekufas, where later generations became very, very great. Now you'll say, listen, the Yir Shemayim today is a joke. I'm not sure. The Yir Shemayim, no, it's not just knowledge. Listen, maybe we'll get there one day, maybe the next generation, you know, there are definitely things today that are incredible. Even in the world of Yirah Shemayim, there's a very big Baruch Hashem, there's a very big population, not everyone sees everything. It's different. Just because Nevuah came to an end, it doesn't mean that Klal Yisrael was degraded. After the Tekufah of Nevuah came the Tekufah of Baskor. Hashem communicated with Klal Yisrael through Baskor. What is Baskol? It means the Chol Ha'am Royin Esakolos. There was a clarity understanding where we are, where we're holding in this world. They didn't have this thing called Royin Esakolos in time of Nevuah and Nevi'im. Different, okay? Obviously, the famous Gemara Gross said that he said, in putting aside all humility, I can have an appreciation of what it meant to be a Tana. Okay, the Vilna Goyen lived approximately 1,700 years after the end of the Tanoim. But the Vilna Goyen, there was no one had a mind like the Vilna Goyen. It was just not normal. And he says, I can have a sense of an appreciation of what it meant to be a Tana. That's a pretty bold statement to say. But I don't have any clue what it was like to be a water carrier or a wood chopper during the time of the prophets. The lowest level of society in the era of when they were Nevi'im in Klal Yisrael can't even imagine what kind of madrega that person was on. To be in a seviva of where there were prophets walking around the street. Atana? That maybe I can have a little bit of an appreciation for. But I'm telling you, it's not a stira. Different elements. Elu v'elu. There are different. I'm not saying this. I won't have the chutzpah to say it. There are different elements that every generation has that are unique. Definitely unique. And here, I'm trying to get a little appreciation of what it means here. This principle called the baska. Okay, let's go further. The Nevisham Zu, next pasuk test. The Nevisham Zu Shaduni, Oivai, Benefesh Yakifu Olot. We had this very pasuk in the Mitzvah stuff. It said, explain this to mean. You have to again rearrange the words. And because, let's actually, I forgot already. Let's look at the Mitzvah stuff very quickly again. The Mitzvah stuff and a pasuk test. Zu Shaduni, you have to rearrange the words. Asher Shadudu, I see they plundered me. Benefesh, Bavur Kachas Nafshi. The wicked people, the Bnei Rishon Zu, Shaduni, Oivai, Benefesh, in order to take away my neshama, Makifin Yakifu Olois. Let's read it backwards. Yakifu Mibnei Shayakifu Olai Rishoyim Zu Shaduni. It's very hard. You have to figure out a good word. Put maybe a kifu line in the middle. They surround me, the wicked people who are my enemies. Take my nafshi. It's very almost impossible to read this pasuk in order. You have to really twist the words. There are rishoyim who are my enemies, and they are surrounding me, and they are plundering my assets. For what purpose? Ultimately to kill me. To take my neshama. You know, that's an interesting thing, because ordinarily when someone attacks someone, it's for one of two reasons. Either they want to kill them. They don't care about the money. The money is not the issue. The money is they want to eliminate this person. Or, no, I don't care about them. I don't really care about the person gone. What I care about is I want the money. I want his money. Over here, he's saying the reason why they're plundering me, Shaduni, means to take my money is so ultimately they can kill me. That's a little bit difficult to understand what exactly that means. You want to kill the person, you want his money, and therefore you're going to ambush him, surround him, and wait for the moment when you can succeed. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Zu Shaduni, Bishvil Zois. Because of this, Sheshoydidim Oisi Oivai. Because of this, they're plundering me, my enemies. Asher b'nefesh, yakifu olai, litol nafshi. They want to take my neshama, and therefore they surround me. So he's saying the same idea as the mitzvah, but it's very hard. Bnei Rishon Zu, Shaduni Oivai, b'nefesh yakifu olai. I don't really have any good clarity. They want to take my neshama, these wicked people who are my enemies, and therefore they surround me. And they plunder me. Okay, you have to rearrange the words in any way that you want. But at the end of the day, all the words must be accounted for. Why are they arranging this? I mean, there's certainly a very deep reason why. And previous pasuk. Guard me. Okay, you're saying very good. Guard me with bnei rishaim zu. These guard me. So you're saying very good. None of the Farshim say that. You're trying to add words. That's a very good, I like that. You're adding over here the word Shamreini. We do that very often, so that you to add the word to cross Pesukim. It's very common to add words within the same pasuk. That we know. Within the same pasuk, it's a very common style to add, we repeat words in order to make sense out of the pasuk. But Rav Kalman is suggesting that in this instance, you have to add words from the previous pasuk. Shamreini, guard me, mipnei rishaim zu. Okay, the word zu, it's a collective noun. Even though the word rishaim is plural, but zu is singular. So I guess it's the collective noun. Guard me from this set of wicked people, who are these rishaim, and you have to add the word oivai, these guarded from these evil people who are my enemies, who are plundering me in order to take my neshama, and that is why they are surrounding me. Listen, this is all my.
The Rebbe is just trying to define what they're coming after me about.
My neshama.
Not after my money. They just want to
kill me. They want to eliminate me. They want my money. They want my assets. They
so
want.
It's a defining of what he's protecting me from. If you can protect me from the money, I can put it into a safe. You want to protect? No, they're coming into my life.
They're coming after absolutely. And but shaduni means shaydim, a plunderer. Plunderer always refers to what? Always refers to money. Ah, let's go for it. I marked down some things, and maybe we'll see. Let's see. Maybe we have a malm here. We'll see in a moment. Maybe not today, but we'll see maybe tomorrow. Let's try to finish the most that we can, the Rashis. Chelbamoy sagru pimoy dibu vigeos. So this we learned last week to mean that these people, my enemies, they're so fat. They have a triple, quadruple chin. Their chin, they have so much fat on their cheek, is that it weighs them down. They can't even open their mouth. Their cheek is so heavy from fat. Chelbomoy, their fat, soguru, has shut them down. They can't even move. They're so fat, they can't even move. Pimoy, dibu, vigeus, and when they do get a few words out of their mouth, it's with arrogance, Rashi.
Who's it referred to?
The wicked people. The wicked people. Chelbomoy, soguru, b'chelbom, and their fat, uveshumonom, sagru libam, their hearts. Rashi learns not their mouth, but their hearts have been closed off. V'yishman yishudun v'yivot. When a person has too much, he's blinded. He's blinded by greed and by fear that someone will take away what he has. Libam, v'ineyem mehabid, their eyes as well. Their eyes are blinded. Now, where does it say eyes over here? Where does it get eyes? Okay, shamreni, going back to the previous pasuk, but shamreni kiyish to kishon basoi, that's not eyes from this pasuk. Ve'neim ha-mehabit el po'olcha li'yire miponech, be afraid of you.
Next
pasuk, yudah, aleph, ashurenu ato, ashurenu, our footsteps. Ato now, sivavunu, they surround our footsteps. Enehem, their eyes, Yoshisu, are set lintais ba'aretz, to tread upon the earth. They're attacking. Lintais means to spread out. The wicked people are trying aggressive. They're trying to spread out, to expand their influence, to expand their possessions by spreading out in the earth. Let's see Pasuk Yalta Rashi. Rashi says, Ashrenu ata sivavunu, they have surrounded our footsteps. Es, akavenu, our souls, our heels. Ata now, sivavunu ha'ovim, our enemies have surrounded. The enemy of their eyes, Yoshisu lintais ba'aretz, and their eyes have been set to spread out on the earth. Livshai ba'aretz, to expand. Colonialism, okay, to expand in the world. Venerali shenispalel David tilazu le'achashabo yodei ma'aseh shal uria v'yoyav. This goes back in the Hakdama to this mizmar. The ma'aseh of uria v'yoyav v'yishrol hoyu be'eretz b'nei amoin sodim al rabba, when they were laying siege on the city called Rabba. V'yorei David shalo yikosh l'sham b'shvil aver shabiyodoi. They should not. This was the main thrust of our introduction. This Rashi, the Yishu, they will hear Plishtim Amoya VeEdom V'Chol Shecheni Eretz Yisrael Haroim Hametzabim Liyan Edom VeYovo Aleihem. So let's review over here. The Ma'aseh here was, this was the war. This was when Klal Yisrael was at war. Yoav was the general. Uriah Hachiti, seems that he was one of the very, very successful generals under the authority of Yoav. Yoav was the 5-star general, and Yoav was one of his 4-star generals. He was out there in the battlefield. And this pasuk says it all. And David was in the meantime was at home in his palace, and what was he doing? He was nichshol. Our footsteps. I think it's self understood. He doesn't say, but is that what it means? Simply, ashurenu. Rashi doesn't say the word ashurenu, our footsteps. No, he says, es akevenu. He does say, our footsteps. Es akevenu. our steps, our footsteps.
They follow us?
They're surrounding us. We're under attack. Our footsteps. We don't know all the details of this battle. It was a battle, and the Jewish people were in very, very great danger. They were under siege. Es akeveinu ata now sivavunu ho'oivim. David here is saying right now there's a battle. This is, according to Rashi, when he says the next question, there's a battle going on, and our army and our men, our civilians, our military, they are in the great danger. They are surrounded by the enemy. Our footsteps, our steps. Akeveinu means a footstep, a heel. Okay, Adam dosh va'akev, a person steps with his heels. The word akeveinu, es akeveinu, our steps. Ata now, silavuli ho'ivim, our footsteps are surrounded by our enemy. We're in very, very great danger. V'einehem yoshitsu lintois baretz, and the enemy is trying to attack. The enemy is on the offensive. They're trying to conquer and wipe out our military, to destroy the civilians and take over the country. Livshoy baretz. David explains, What is this pasuk doing here? What is David referring to? V'nir ali, shemispal David tfilzo, David was misal Hashem, save us. The acha shabol liyodei ma'isa shal Uriah v'yoyof. After it came into his hands, the ma'isa of Uriah v'yoyof. Now what is he with Yoyof? How is Yoyof involved in this? Uriah told David, when David was nichshol, I'm assuming this to be the case, maybe I'm wrong, but when Uriah was nichshol with Bathsheba, when David was nichshol with Bathsheba, and Bathsheba was pregnant, so David wanted to cover up the crime. So what did he do? He called Uriah back from the battlefield, and he told him to come home. And he met with David, and David gave Uriah instructions. I want you to go home to your wife, Bathsheba, right now. Why did David want him to do this? Because then when 9 months later she'll give birth, people will say, who's the father? Uriah is the father. Why is Uriah the father? Because Uriah came home in the middle of the battle to be with his wife. Everyone will remember. Uriah came home, he went home, he was there for Shabbos. So they'll say 9 months later, the reason why Bathsheba, the child, is from Uriah. So what did Uriah say to David? David, I'm not going home. There's a war going on. We're in danger. The enemy is surrounding us. Now is not a time for me to go home, be with my wife. I want to go back to the battle. I want to go back to my master, Uriah. David, you're not my master. You're sitting home and doing nothing here. My master is Uriah, who's right now risking his life for Klal Yisrael. That's where I belong. I want to go back to my master. David says, you call him your master? I'm the Melech. I'm your master. I give orders, not him. You're Moired B'Malchus. You're Chayiv Nisa. That's right, go back to the battlefield. And I'll tell Uriah, David took out his walkie-talkie and told Uriah, make sure you put this guy on the front lines and he gets killed. So David over here is very concerned. Why is he concerned? Because David realizes, Rashi says that he did an Avera. He did an Avera. He's the Melech of Klal Yisrael. He did an Avera with Bathsheba. And when the Melech, when someone back home does an Avera, the Siyata Deshmaya of what's doing on the battlefield is diminished. And now all the Goyim need to know is that back at home someone did an Avera, they'll be victorious. Different type of war. In ancient times, the way you win war is that people do Averas. This is exactly what happened with Balak and Bilam. After Balak hired Bilam to curse the Jewish people and he failed, so what did Bilam say? It's very easy to win against the Jews. Don't try to go take them head on, we'll never win. Just cause them to be nichshol in Gilead Arayis. You know what you do? Give the Jews free internet service. And give them all smartphones. They'll be distracted during davening. That's the way you win. The way you win is give everyone in Klal Yisrael, every yeshiva, give them a free smartphone, free internet, unlimited internet service. They'll be distracted during davening. Mimela, they won't have the shmira they need. And then you'll be successful in conquering them. The way you fight a battle is through religion, not through having a more powerful arsenal, bigger weapons, bigger bombs. It's all siyata d'shmaya. So David realized right now there's a battle for the existence of Klal Yisrael, existential struggle of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is battling against the Plishtim, and everyone has to be on their best behavior at home as a zuchus for the people in the battlefield. And what happens? David does a terrible avera. He does an avera. And David realized now that if the enemies find out what he did, then they will be emboldened to attack, knowing that Klal Yisrael is lacking the shmir of Hashem. Okay, that's how the battles are really fought. It's all with like they say from the Chassam Sofer. What is this? Is very relevant today. It's I'm very surprised though. You know, there's not, you don't see in the yeshiva world. And I'm not trying to be I'm not any better in any way. Years ago, I don't know, maybe in my generation, there's a Mohammed going on in the world today. You know, there should be more of a emphasis of it's not a good time now. It's not a good time now for us, for anyone. There's a war going on. No, it seems like it's a little war in a little remote area of the world. It's a different world today. Today, when there's a little war, it's a big war. It can escalate into World War III in 5 minutes. Today, it's not like it was 30 years ago. Everyone's watching. Everything, it's a different world today. And everyone is quiet in the firm world. You don't see people saying Tehillim. You don't see a thrust.
I did see a
little. A little bit. You say a Mizmar. I don't know, something is not right. I would expect that the Moetzes Gedolei Yisrael would have come out. They did put out a letter to give tzedakah and say Tehillim. Okay, so you know, but people who are working, all right, you know that. But in the yeshivas, the olam yeshivas, there should be a much greater intensity. And I don't see it. I don't see anything. Yeah, you give tzedakah, this, that, a little. No, they should, you know.
In the old days, you'd have an assembly, go down, and then you
say, right. Yeah. Assembly, right. You go, so the balabah, the people, they laugh. No, you can laugh all you want. This is what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to do the certain protocol. There's an ace, Sarah. You know, cancel, like you watched, they have these big concerts last night in this clip. Concerts. It's not the time for concerts now. They spend months. I know. So what are you going to do? You're playing months, millions of dollars, fundraisers, this and that. I don't have any solutions. I don't know. What are you going to say? I don't know. But there's just something. Maybe it's just me. I'm crazy. There's something. I'm not a person that's willing to participate anyway. You're going to tell me that tomorrow we're going to have a fast day. I'm not fasting. I'm sorry. I'm not fasting. But go through the motions. You have to scream a little bit. Maybe. You have to go through the motions. It's very disturbing. There's nothing. Everyone says, who, it doesn't matter who, I know there are many people who argue, Adarabah, Rosh Hashanah wiped them out. Listen, my great-grandfather, Yerei Sharov, when he was escaping from the Nazis, he went into Ukraine, hiding, you know where to hide from, and the Ukrainians found him. The Zaydis, the grandfathers of the people over here, what did they do to him? We found the Jew, a rabbi. They took him, they tied him to a horse, and they galloped with him, attached to the horse, in the road to the forest. They brutally murdered him, brought him in the forest, and they didn't bury him. So how am I supposed to feel about this? It's the grandparents of these people that are now, what?
I think that Bill Clinton was murdered by the Ukrainians.
Ukrainians.
Right. Tell
Yeshiva by Ukraine. Right. So how do Mitzad Echad say, Lo Yumsu Avos Albanim. Lo Yumsu Avos Albanim. Okay? Lo Yumsu Avos Albanim.
What in the Palestinians?
Hay Luchad, these people, the Zaydis are, this is none of our business. It's not about, these are innocent people. Luchara, they're innocent people, right? If we would go there today, they wouldn't like us. They would spit on us, I would imagine. Okay, they're not very... On the other hand, we didn't go there, so they didn't spit on us. The Zaydis, that's Hashem's business. That's not our business. Hashem's business. Hashem. So mitzadeh, we look over here at an act of aggression, of cruel aggression, of unprovoked Russia coming in upon innocent people. Are they our friends? No, their grandparents murdered us. So, but mitzadeh, they're the grandchildren. They do anything to us? No. So, and after they'll do this to them, who knows, they'll come after us also, once Russia, like World War II.
It's not that they're both Russians. Well, maybe they're both bad people. The question is, what's the result of
it? Exactly.
The Look, outcome for the rest of the world is very...
Exactly. It's not good. Whatever it is, whatever your feelings are, I saw some of these people that are very, very thrilled with what's happening. It's not good. It's not good for nobody. This is not the way we live. It's not a good thing, and it's a very, very dangerous situation for the whole world. The whole world is very dangerous. The economy, it's geferlach. It's a war. It's a war that affects the whole world. So you may mispalo that there should be shalom. Who do you want to root for? None of my business. No one's business who you're rooting for. But it's a sakana. It's a tremendous sakana to the world. Everyone, you know, there's a var from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, Talmidei Chachamim, it's a real Chassidus Shavar. The Chassam Sofer was an Oberlander. It's not a Chassidus Shavar. But Talmidei Chachamim, Marbin, Shalom Be'olam. What does it mean, the Marbin Shalom Be'olam? There's something in Chazal called the Melchamtoi Shel Torah. The War of Torah. When a person studies Torah, he engages in real battle. When there's a gezerah upon this world, there should be milchama. If the Talmidei Chachamim would up their game and devote themselves to Torah and engage in the milchamta shel Torah, the gezerah of milchama has been niskayin. It's not necessary that people should die on the battlefield in the milchama of the guf in this world. Okay, so it's a very simple vart. Whatever it means, it means. So if I was a manal in the yeshiva, I would take all the boys and I would say to them, you know, there's a war going on and it's very dangerous for everyone. Everyone in this room, it's very dangerous. What are you going to do about it? There's nothing we can do about it. You'd be mispalo. Who should lose? That's none of our business. That's not, we don't know anything. But at least it's not good. This week, no recess. You're going to have to spend 50 more minutes learning Torah.
That was startable.
50 more minutes. Davening, there should be a different davening. You know, it has to be some emergency measures taken during times of emergency. You'll say, oh, this Vard, you know, is a Hasidish Vard. This is ridiculous. Listen, you know, can't say it's ridiculous. Am I holding by that Vard, appreciating that Vard? I'm not holding by appreciating that Vard. But you got to go through the motions. You just can't do nothing. You can't do nothing if you're an Orthodox religious Jew has the Muni, you daven three times a day. And then I'm going to teach them, but then also, you know what I really don't like? I'll take personally, I really despise seeing these videos of people in the Ukraine in shul dancing. Dancing and singing. Oh, people are dying. Now is not the time to sing and dance. Your moon, you have such grace and moon, the Mashiach is coming, good for you. Keep it off the video camera. Keep it off the video camera that circulates throughout the entire world to watch people in shul dancing and singing in shul. Right outside, people are terrorized. Whether you like them or not, whoever their grandparents were, it's not a time to sing and dance in shul, and people should take pictures and videos, and it should circulate throughout the entire world. The Chil Hashem is just beyond belief. It's beyond belief. I mean, this is how I personally look at it. Listen, I don't know. I don't know geopolitics. I don't understand anything. I don't understand anything that's going on. But obviously, it's not. It's a pachat pachadim what's going on. All right, so we over here. Ashureinu atos. We have to leave this for tomorrow, to go further tomorrow. All right, we'll take a short break. Then I want to go talk about this week's Parashas Pekudei. It is Binyan, the last of the 4 weeks that we really talk about the Binyan of the Mishkan. So I want to talk about something the Yanam of the Mishkan of Moira Mikdash. Vies Mikdashi Tiro.
So they were supposed to have a kind of city.
Yeah.